and to the Blender, episode 12.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall. And time goes nowhere when you're too careful. Well, my life is insane because you're in it. Just sit back and indulge me for a minute.
And welcome to episode 12. This is Chooch.
And this is Viv.
And we are here to speak to you of the blendedness of the families and the... Actually, this episode really isn't blendedness. It's more personal with my family. And not necessarily the blendiness.
Well, it is because it's my blended family. I mean, it's the boys' blended family.
This is true.
So everything about our daily life is blended somehow.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
So what you been up to?
I have been up to lots of exercise.
Yes.
We have started to back this up, you guys know that my mom passed away from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
In several previous years, we did the Race for the Cure in Washington, D.C. with her and the rest of my family. This was pre-Chooch.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done one since she passed. And I've been wanting to do one. And so I've decided to, along with the regular exercise and stuff like that we're doing for health and weight loss, I wanted to start training for a 5K.
Yeah.
Because I've walked it, definitely. I've never taken a single running step in any of those types of events that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I think I laughingly calculated that I had not run since like high school. And my joke was always, you know, only run when chased. And
right.
So I decided that I wanted to do it and I wanted to actually run as much as I'm physically able to do, which means none. So I mentioned something in Twitter and this really cool guy that is very supportive in our group of people that exercise pointed me in the direction of this website called coolrunnings.com.
Mm-hmm.
And towards a podcast done by Robert Ulrey, Ullrey, in iTunes. And it's the Couch to 5K program. And
yeah.
He has a podcast broken into 9 weeks with this really awesome, cool music. And the podcast is broken up really great. You don't need a stopwatch or anything. And mm-hmm. It's just really well done. And so I've been doing it for a week. Chooch and our tween, T, has started doing it with me.
Yeah.
And so we're all training for a 5K.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
It does hurt.
It's very painful.
Yeah. My motto has always been, you know, I'm built for comfort, not for speed. So,
yeah.
And I've got the belly to prove it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't really been a runner. I've had spurts of running. Like in the past, when I've started a diet and started exercise, I always tell myself I'm going to be a jogger and
right.
I'm going
to
get up early in the morning. And it usually lasts one or two mornings. And then that's I never go back.
You have to be very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it.
And having this, having the help of a podcast that mm-hmm. times it for you and that mm-hmm. kind of coaches you and gives you a structure and
yeah.
a goal and everything, I mm-hmm. think is really helpful.
I'm actually repeating week one because mm-hmm. although it says couch to 5K in 9 weeks, I'm finding that I can do the bike. I can do the walk at home DVDs. I can mm-hmm. do the elliptical, although much less of the elliptical than the bike or the walk at home. And I can walk for a really long time, but the, I guess it's the shock,
right?
Physical shock on my, you know, tendons and, mm-hmm. you know, joints and stuff like that is really where, I mean, I feel like the muscles just above my knees and the muscles at the top of my thighs, they feel like they were beaten with a stick. It hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time getting my body trained into the physical impact of running.
Right.
Since I haven't literally done it in over 20 years. So it's going to take me a little longer. And I don't expect, I'm not foolish enough to think that I'm going to be able to run from the starting line to the finish line, you know, 2 miles, whatever 5K equals out to. Uh-huh. But I would like to make a decent enough time. We're doing it competitive so that right. we can have a time to improve on next year and in other 5Ks if we decide to do more this year, mm-hmm. because it's something that I'm finding that I really enjoy doing
yeah.
with the podcast, or even when I take the headphones off at the end. And I just like watch you guys because I can figure, we all do it together on our iPods. We all have it running. So mm-hmm. You don't even have to have it on. The music is awesome. But just to get like the nature experience of it at the end there, I took the headphones off and I was just watching you guys to know when to stop and all that stuff.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed that aspect of it too. Just like no noise, just the sound of my huffing and puffing and my feet hitting the track. So I just actually enjoy the physical nature of it. So
yeah, and the last run we did the day before yesterday, I definitely noticed the first... Yeah, you know, the program has you walking as a warm up, and then you do your first run, and mm-hmm. it's basically alternating running and walking,
right?
And not even running so much, you know, jogging.
Yeah,
but
at whatever pace you can.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the first run section, just those first few steps, I could really tell the shock and just this kind of pain in my shins.
Yeah, and you've got to watch shin splints for you.
Yeah, and the next one was, you know, and then I did the walk for 90 seconds, and the next run. It was there a little bit, but mostly gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was fine, but definitely took some adjustment.
Yeah. And we need to get new shoes again. I think it's, you just got new shoes though, but yours are running. Are your shoes walking shoes?
I think they're running shoes. I mean, you look at the bottom and the everything about them, they seem like running shoes.
Well, I know that I need new shoes for running because mine are a couple years old, and you're supposed to go every 500 miles and get new shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've got over 500 miles on these shoes, not from running, obviously, but just from general life and walking and all that kind of stuff around campus. So we definitely need new shoes and make sure that yours are running shoes for what you're doing. But our tween is really taking to it.
Yeah.
He's really seeming to enjoy it. He's right out there with us doing it. It's mm-hmm. so cool. And I feel so good about finally setting a good health example for him.
Absolutely.
You know, an activity kind of thing. So that's really good. And then I haven't lost any weight in like 3 weeks. I'm getting really pissed. But I'm working out a lot. I had to, with this new program, you're supposed to do it 3 days a week and take the days off in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for the first week. And I can't do that because I need that calorie burn.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, even cutting back on food, I need the calorie burn to feel like I'm accomplishing something because I'm plateaued. And I'm only 6 pounds down.
Right.
And I refuse to be plateaued this early. It's too demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kick back up. I'm going to add in at least two more days of workout back to where I was before with 5 days of workout and 2 days off.
Mm-hmm.
And I may even extend the walking after. Because after we did it yesterday, we did 7 laps and then we did an 8th lap of just walking. I may do another mile of walking after the run.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that it would be a good idea to get up to the 3.25 mile mark.
Oh, okay, right.
Since that's what 5K is, even if we're not doing the running, even if we're just walking the rest of it afterwards,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we can get our body used to doing that. What is it? 13 laps.
Right.
So, and the amount of time it takes to do that, and it'll just take us less and less time. So, I think that's what I'm going to do during the week. And if you don't want to do that on the weekends when we do it together, that's cool.
No, that makes sense.
But I've got to get more calorie burn. I'm just frustrated with no weight loss.
I think I do too. I mean, last week I was sick and I didn't work out at all.
You were sick.
And it was, I came out even.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't, you know, no gain, no loss.
Right.
And then I started doing the run with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really do any exercise above that.
Right.
Like,
you did one morning.
Well, I mean, it was a day that should have been a running day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we couldn't really run because of the weather.
Right.
And so I listened to the program and I did the alternates, you know, the speed, only I did it on the elliptical, which isn't equivalent, but.
Right. It's better than nothing.
Yeah. And it was still, I mean, a lot of sweating and a lot of huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
So it was still a good workout.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did another day on the bike,
mm-hmm.
but I think it should have been a running day. But anyways, And this last week, I actually gained 2 pounds. So I had a total weight loss for January of 10 pounds, and now I went up 2. So I'm only at 8.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that I need the more working out other than just the running program.
Yeah. Because it's just not enough calorie burn.
So I'm kind of debating on what I'm going to do. I think I may do the running days, and then on the in-between days, maybe I'll do the upper body with the weights.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the tack I'm going to take this week.
Yeah. I find I have huff and puff so much with the running, which surprises me because of all the cardio work I've done, mm-hmm. that I really need to keep focusing on cardio. And mm-hmm. then just do the arm weights mm-hmm. on top of that for the upper body. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm frustrated, but I'm not giving up. I'm too pissed. I will not give up.
Yeah.
Because I am seeing like a little bit of an improvement, but not anything measurable, which is what irritates me.
Right.
So, got to keep going.
Yeah. And the other big thing, our teen, Em, was on a trip
mm-hmm.
with this extracurricular school group, mm-hmm. and they went to Disney World.
Yeah. And he just got back a couple hours ago.
Yeah. I haven't really talked to him about it, but sounds like
he had a blast. Yeah.
No, they were all tuckered out.
Yeah. He said he kept forgetting his camera in the hotel room, so he's got pictures on his camera phone, which is why we got him the digital camera, so he'd have nicer pictures than the camera phone. But oh well, you know, what are you gonna do? He's 16. He's got his cell phone. He doesn't sleep without it 2 inches away from him. Of course he's going to have that. But sounds like they had a really, really great time. So
that's very cool.
We'll get all that debriefing of that.
Yeah. And the other thing we've been doing is working on our basement.
Yeah.
We had just nothing but stacks of boxes mm-hmm. all over the basement. It's a finished basement. This mm-hmm. is where we record. We've got really nice painted, you know, finished walls and carpeting. But ever since, you know, when I moved from coast to coast,
mm-hmm.
I had, you know, a house full of stuff that we threw into a storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved into this house and the stuff came out of storage and went straight into the basement or the garage.
Mm-hmm.
We did a bunch of work on the garage
mm-hmm.
and there's still
some boxes there.
But so we've started going through the boxes in the basement. So I'm opening up things that have been in boxes for 5 years.
Yeah.
Trying to sort through what I really want to keep. And I'm a bit of a pack rat, and so I'm trying to do a significant purge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we had, so far, we did a lot this weekend. We got a lot of stuff moved and
mm-hmm.
got a lot of things set to the side that I got to clear through. And
yeah. Well, and don't feel bad because I'm going through boxes from, I mean, I opened a box yesterday that I packed when I moved out of my marital home with my ex-husband, and that was like 10 years ago. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, I'm sure he'd like to have these things. Oh, I didn't know I had them. So, you know, I'm getting a box ready for him of stuff to send off and some stuff for his folks, too. So,
yeah, there's that one part of my brain. Some people's philosophy is, you know, if something's been sitting in a box for 5 years, then you obviously don't need it. So you should just.
No.
Don't even open it and just get rid of it. No, I can't do that.
No. Well, especially when you have kids.
Yeah.
You really can't do that. Because if I threw away everything that I hadn't opened in 5 years, that would be most of my kids' baby stuff. And that ain't mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah.
Although I had been holding on to, this is kind of a blend thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I still have my wedding dress and shoes and purse and veil. And I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I have like all the wedding shower and stuff like that, the cards and things.
Mm-hmm.
Packed away in a box. And I had always thought, well, you know, keep the wedding dress. And if I ever have a daughter, I'm not going to make her wear it, but I could like make something out of it for her to go with her wedding dress or,
mm-hmm.
you know, make something for the boys from the marriage of their mother and father. But, you know, that when they were little, I thought it would be neat to make them like something that had a piece of my wedding dress on it.
Uh-huh.
But at the ages of 11 and 16, I know they aren't going to give a damn. And I even asked you about this. Can you think of anything that your mother could have made out of the wedding dress from her marriage to your dad? And you were like, no. So I figure that ship has sailed. So I'm going to actually donate my wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try and find a place that can use it for like, you know, teen, pregnant, or some kind of a dire situation. Yeah. I don't want it to just go somewhere where somebody's gonna make a profit off of. I want somebody able to use it that wouldn't have them, because it's a beautiful wedding dress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not I don't need it anymore. And yeah. I don't think the boys are, I can't think of a single situation where the boys would say, I wish you'd kept your wedding dress, Mom.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm going to finally get rid of that.
And on the man side, I don't really have anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I found the tie that I wore with my suit.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I was going through a couple boxes, trinket boxes of things. And I had my wedding ring.
Oh, really?
Wedding ring for my first marriage.
Wow.
And then
you got to keep that for Jay.
Keep
it for Jay.
And then I kind of like, well, you know, do the kids want something, a reminder of the marriage that failed?
It was the marriage that they were born in, though.
Yeah.
And that's because I still have the jewelry my ex gave me. I'm saving that for the boys.
Yeah.
It's different than a wedding dress, you know.
Right,
nothing else, they can, you know, rip out the sapphires or diamonds and throw it into another piece of jewelry or give it to their future or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's different to carry around a hunk of fabric that's never going to get used.
Yeah.
There's no real monetary value. The kids can't sell it and get anything for it. At least the jewelry, if something happens in their dire, they could hawk mama's ring, you know. But So that the jewelry I am keeping for them, I've had that put away for them in this little thing.
Gotcha.
And so that stays, that's for them. But the wedding dress, I think, was just, you know, I always thought someday I'd have a daughter, and I don't, and I'm not going to. So time to just let the dress go, you know. And even if I did have a daughter, it wouldn't be with him. So it's kind of like, wait a minute, why am I holding on to this? And I guess part of me thought, well, if the boys had daughters, then I could make something for my grandchild out of it. But again, it's a wedding, a marriage that's no longer together. So something of significance for the child, yes. For the grandchild, I don't think so.
Right.
So that's in the donate stack.
Yeah. When you were first saying you were deciding what to do with something, I kind of raised my eyebrows. For some reason, I thought you were going to mention the towering boxes of 100 stuffed animals.
Oh, 100 is a low estimate. I have every stuffed animal the boys have ever gotten in Rubbermaid boxes, whether they be Beanie Babies or whether they be carnival toys that they won. And so the boys are going to go through and pick out what they want. Because 2 years ago, T might have wanted to get rid of the squirrel Beanie Baby, which was so crucial this last Halloween.
Right.
With his Gurr costume. So
true.
You know, you never know when 17 Rubbermaid boxes are going to equal out to a good save on Halloween.
Indeed.
Indeed.
I think that's pretty much summarizes our
week.
Our last week. Well, I guess 2 weeks since the last episode. Kind of had a lapse.
Bad chooch.
Again.
That's life in a busy family. You guys know it.
Indeed. I said indeed again.
You are indeed saying indeed quite frequently.
I am.
Indeed.
So I think it's time for a promo.
Promo time.
And we'll come back in and go into our main topic.
Cool.
For the episode.
Two years ago, a voice whispered from the edge a story about the Weaver's Web. Now, that voice speaks again.
Koru Studios, in association with Dragon Moon Press, presents Chasing the Bard, written and read by Philippa Ballantyne.
Coming soon. www.chasingthebard.com.
It's not a Blender-specific thing, but I wanted to talk a little bit about my brother and actually his son.
Yeah.
I mentioned my brother a little bit before when we were talking about health and talking about predispositions for things. And that my brother has cancer.
Yes.
And so I wanted to go into that a little more. And I don't know the specific one he has. It's got a really long, crazy name, which most of them have.
It's very rare, though.
It's a very rare one, yeah. And it's very aggressive.
Yes.
And it affects different parts of the body. And it first showed up, actually, he was having stomach aches And so, you know, they had tried various remedies and different diagnoses of what it could possibly be until he really went in and got a
MRI
and discovered that he actually had this mass in his abdomen that was pretty big. It was like the size of a grapefruit. And so he went in and had surgery and had it removed.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of healing. That was a really difficult surgery because they had to cut through all the stomach muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's certain muscle groups that just aren't there anymore. So yeah. It really affected. And he's always been very athletic, very outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, he was in lots of sports teams. And more recently, he's really gotten into riding dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And so his whole family got into riding dirt bikes. And so he had a group. Actually, I think it's a group from his church that would meet on weekends and go riding and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really big. And so it really affected his riding, mm-hmm. not having those muscles. But he, you know, worked through it and got back. And so then he had the regular checkups to go back and check everywhere else. And like a year later, they found a spot in one of his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to do a biopsy. And I guess so over the course, he went and had to go back and do another study, and they showed that they had grown much, much faster than they thought they would have. So they did a pretty rapid surgery, and luckily he was able to do the endoscopic surgery. So they only have to do a couple little holes and then put the little manipulators through with the cameras, and they were able to cut it out. Otherwise they were going to have to do, you know, really serious thing where they cut open his back and do all kinds of crazy stuff. So luckily, I mean,
barbaric.
Yeah. They had to collapse one of his lungs. They had to cut out this one piece of cancer and that was it. And unfortunately, a few months after that, they found more spots and he had a really tough choice to make, which was, and ultimately what his decision was, is I'm not going to spend the rest of my life getting cut open. I'm not going to let this thing take me piece by piece. I want to take the time I have and live how I want to live. And that's it. Because the reality is, basically, they gave him a year to live.
Yeah.
And they said, in the best circumstances, having a surgery every couple months, I guess, to cut out pieces, he had a year, maybe a year and a half.
And chemo too, right?
And right. Well, actually he did chemo and radiation with the stuff in the abdomen.
Right.
But because of where it's at in his lungs, it's too sensitive. He can't do any kind of radiation.
That's right.
I guess there isn't an effective chemotherapy for that.
Because it is so rare.
And I had heard a show. It was actually a podcast, and they were talking about photon therapy that is very limited because it's very, very expensive, but it sounds like it can be helpful for specific types of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to him to see if the doctors had talked about that.
Yeah.
There's actually one hospital in California and then one in the Midwest, I believe, that are doing. The reason it's so rare or so expensive is you actually have to have a particle accelerator to do it. But there are two hospitals that actually built particle accelerators underneath the hospitals. And so with traditional radiation therapy, it's usually with x-rays.
Yeah.
And they are very destructive. They're destructive to all tissue going into where the cancer is.
Yep.
Obviously, they're destructive to the cancer. But they actually go through the back as well. So something like your lungs, you've got all of your tissue and then the actual lung tissue itself, which is very fragile. And then going through the skin on your back. So all of that gets damaged and your lungs just can't handle that. It's way too damaging on your lungs. But with the photon energy, the photons, they can not only target much smaller areas, but they can target in three dimensions.
Mm.
So it has a very minimal impact to your skin and surrounding tissue. And it's able to deliver all of its energy just on the cancer.
Holy cow.
And so that's where a lot of brain cancers are having a lot of success with the photon, since they can pinpoint and everything around it is so critical in the brain. And actually, if people have other vital organs. So
That might be it. But anyways, that aside, so he decided that, you know, he wasn't going to go the surgery route. And it's been, how long has it been now? It actually slowed down.
Yeah.
Because we're actually getting close to that first year.
Yeah.
And the last time he went in, it showed that there was a lot more growth, but kind of like spreading wise.
Yeah.
But the individual growths have not gotten as big as they calculated they would. So they kind of extended it another 6 months to a year. And it's really affected him. I mean, he's short of breath a lot. He has to kind of take naps and, you know, he has to early bedtime and that sort of thing. But so in deciding that this is the route they're going to go, he has a teenage son.
Mm-hmm.
His son,
he's a year younger than him, right?
Right. And he had really gotten into the dirt bike thing and decided that he wanted to race professionally.
Yeah.
And so what they did is they pulled him out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, my sister-in-law was able, she had gotten into a new job and was able to have enough money that, you know, to support the family. My brother did really an early retirement. He was able to go through Social Security and start pulling out of the Social Security since, you know, he has a year to live.
Yeah.
He's never going to benefit from the full. So yeah. He was able to do that.
So he's on some form of disability or something like that.
And so their son is doing, basically, during the day, my brother and his son go to the track and they practice. They hired an actual retired professional dirt bike as a coach and trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a nutritionist and a health trainer to do an exercise routine and that sort of thing. And then when they're done doing the track during the day, they come home and he's homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, for him, he was always very distracted in school and he's a very social kid. And
mm-hmm.
like my brother, I don't know that it's really like ADHD, but he's definitely has a very active mind and a hard time focusing mm-hmm. on schoolwork. And the homeschooling's actually been really good for him. He went from, you know, C's and D's to A's and B's. And his mom's very tough on him.
Yeah, she's not padding those grades.
Yeah, and if anybody who knows her knows she takes this very serious and she isn't playing. And so his schoolwork's doing awesome.
He's just flourished educationally.
Yeah. And he's very focused. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows what his dad's going through. He knows what the family's going through. So he's very focused to do well on that.
He's not playing.
And very focused on the riding. And mm-hmm. he actually has the opportunity this year to enter the senior nationals as the 16-year-old kid.
It's amazing.
The local races that he does, I don't know if they're regionals, and I don't know that much about that business, but he was consistently beating the 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Amazing.
At 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually this weekend were doing a fundraiser thing that they were calling Laps of Love, and they were doing 50 laps on the track and had people sponsoring. So it's kind of like a walkathon, but it's mm-hmm. like a ride-a-thon. And my brother actually got, he knew a guy who works for, I think it's like Frito-Lay, and they were bringing all the different type of chips and stuff that they sell. And they've got, you know, like the multigrain chips and all that kind of thing. And there was a Sparklets Water was bringing water stuff for it. And so they were having it catered, and it's a big event. And so I haven't gotten a follow-up since that was yesterday, and to, you know, see how it all went. But so dirt biking is very expensive. They've got a lot of travel costs.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of the gasoline. He was telling me about the gas was insane. That's like $400 a month or something.
Shoot.
Or $800 a month in gas.
Which is way more than we spend in commute.
And the bikes are $6,000 a piece, and he has to have two because, you know, one will break down or something. And, so anyways, and then the traveling is really expensive. And since it's in the best possibilities, you know, this is the only possible year my brother could do this.
Right.
And it's important to his son that he be with him so that they're going to travel together.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting this year. I believe he's going to be racing in 6 states.
Wow.
I think the first one he's going to, I think it's in a few weeks or a month or so. Yeah, I think it was in March, and it's in Texas, and they do like qualifying races, wow, and stuff like that. And it's this, you know, national dirt bike circuit going around the country and seeing how he does, and then a real pro circuit.
That's amazing.
And they love it. They just absolutely love it.
It's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. And he's my big brother. All of my siblings are quite a bit older than me. There's a 9-year gap span between me and my youngest sister. She's 9 years older than me. Yeah. My brother's 10 years older than me. And then my oldest sister's a couple years older than him. And so looking up to my brother, who's always been this big guy to me with a 10-year difference.
Yeah.
And he's always been so outgoing. And that now, you know, he was dedicating himself to do the full 50 laps, but he was going to have to do 2 or 3 or 4 laps and take a break and rest and stop, and then, yeah, go back out and, you know, do it in sessions to try to get to all 50. And he wasn't really sure he'd be able to do all 50.
Yeah.
And being so tired all the time and having to go to bed so early.
Yeah.
That's really, really tough.
But also, the blessing of them being in the position, the way things happened, the way, mm-hmm, things aligned with your sister-in-law or sister-in-law being able to get that job, mm-hmm, when she did.
Yeah.
And it was like the planetary alignment, yeah, that occurred at, yeah, the right time for her to be able to get that job, which, yeah, allowed her to take over the finances for the most part, mm-hmm, and for him to be at home with their son,
yeah,
and to be able to do the homeschooling and to be able to start this and really give their son a strong start in spite of what is going on, right, with him. And that extra time that he wouldn't have had if, yeah, his dad, you know, by some grace of God, which of course would be the preference if he wasn't sick, mm-hmm, he would be working a full-time job and, right, seeing his kid a couple hours at night and on the, yep, weekends. And they're just able to compact all that before time,
yeah,
into this precious amount of time that's left. And that is such a blessing that most people don't get.
Yeah.
And it just shows that good things do happen to good people, even in the worst of circumstances.
He's got that, that calmness that he knows they're going to be okay financially when he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's supporting everybody now. So, mm-hmm, you know, clearly they'll be fine, the two of them.
Yeah.
And they're very involved with their church, and, yes, they've all, you know, the congregation has really stepped up and really supports them, and, you know, helps make meals for things and helps, you know, cover things when they need it. So they've got a really strong support system. They live very close to her family, to, yeah, my sister-in-law's family. So they've got a lot of support there,
yeah,
which is good.
It's, you know, I used to be of a mindset having the family history of breast cancer that I have. Mm-hmm. If you have kids, you do everything you can to last every possible minute on the earth to guide them through. That was my standing, facing the potential of breast cancer in my life.
Right.
I was going to do everything that the doctors gave me an option to do. Mm-hmm. After what I saw my mother go through, where the cancer had her, the cancer was going to take her, and she did treatment after treatment, experimental treatment was what killed her. That, mm-hmm, is, she could have had easily 6 months or a year added on to her life had she not continued with that experimental treatment.
Right.
Because it was the side effects that killed her.
Right.
Gave me a totally different spin on your brother saying, I'm not pursuing the treatment, mm-hmm, just to get another 6 months while his son is still so young. Because I'm sorry, 15 is still really, yeah, young to lose your father.
Yeah.
So as hard as it is, it's given me a whole appreciation and respect that I don't think that I would have understood.
Mm.
But having seen mom go through it, right, I can say, thank God he's not going through it. Because if he ended up in the same boat as mom, it's...
Right.
It would have been so devastating to their son see him waste away like that,
yeah,
and not be available to him anymore.
And yeah, and that was his big decision, was it's the quality of life of, yeah, those 6 months, that extra time. Most of it's going to be spent recuperating from surgeries.
Exactly.
So.
And everybody waiting around and just looking at you. And now he's, mm-hmm, out doing things and he's having to rest and deal with the illness, but, mm-hmm, it's on his terms.
Yeah.
So God bless him.
Yeah. And so he's teaching his son how to ride and how to
be a man,
be self-sufficient, yeah, and being able to pursue his dream.
Mm-hmm.
So
we just really love them. and I don't know them that well at all. I met them last Christmas, and I met them at a wedding the previous year.
Right.
Very brief visits both times, but they just have such a light in them and around them. They're such positive and loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely doing right by their son and each other. And I just don't think you could ask for better support than what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as horrible as it is, as absolutely heartbreaking as it is, at least they've got the things around them to lift them up.
Yeah.
So we love them.
Wait for it. Indeed.
So that's kind of what's going on the back burner here for Chooch.
Yeah. So hopefully next time we'll have some racing statistics
to
give on an update on how well they did.
Yeah.
On their fundraiser and how many laps they made. And then I'm going to keep tabs, of course, in the coming months to see how he places and how well he does in his first national circuit.
That's so amazing.
We'll see him on a Wheaties box. Or
Great. We'll fill the empty spaces that we're emptying out in the basement from boxes. We'll fill it with Wheaties boxes with his picture on them.
Yep. Yep. So we had, once again, zero feedback.
It's okay. People are busy.
Yes.
We can't complain.
And we think of how our lives are that we missed an episode and how busy it is having kids and being in a blended family. And so that's clearly what the audience would be as well. So
of course.
That's how it's going to go.
That's life. How many have you commented on this week, Chooch?
That would be zero.
That would be zero for me as well. So we shall not cast judgments.
Very true. That if you are feeling chatty, want to get in touch with us, there's a very multitude of options at your disposal.
Yeah. You can call us and leave us a voicemail at 413-669-4720. Or you could send us an email to intotheblender@gmail.com. Or you could leave a comment on the site at intotheblender.com.
Yeah. Love to hear from you. See, share your thoughts if you have any similar situations or gone through it. Or, and of course, the wide range of blenderific topics.
Okay, I have a question I'm going to put forth if anybody wants to comment on it. Chooch is looking at me scared.
Yeah.
We have carpet in the basement, but it's in terrible condition, and we have wonderful guests coming in April. So we're actually tearing up the carpet to put down new flooring.
Yeah.
We're debating the various flooring types. We don't want carpet because it is a basement and we don't want water damage and having to replace the carpet. So we're talking about linoleum, either tile or rolled or some, we're still researching the different aspects. We want cheap and quick. If anybody has any thoughts on that kind of thing, we've never done anything like this.
Yeah.
So we're a little scared. That's why I think we're taking our time on the going through the boxes phase to clear the rooms out.
Yeah.
To we actually popped off one of those little tack boards to make sure that it's only concrete under the carpet, which it is. So we are starting on concrete floors. And we don't know yet what the condition of that is. I'm guessing it's probably all right.
Yeah.
But, So if anybody has any pointers or warnings.
Ignoring do-it-yourself home improvement tips.
Yeah. So that's where we are. And we might tell you what we end up doing. At this point, I think we're going to end up doing tile linoleum so that we don't have to try and get a roller up and down the stairs in the house.
Yeah.
So that's us in a nutshell. That's it.
All right. So, thanks for listening.
Later, guys. Have a great week. Just sit back and indulge for a minute. You light the suns in all my worlds. All my worlds. It's hard time you believe.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.